You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Lucia Renee back to the show. Lucia has been a professional actress, a computer science consultant, and since publishing her book, Unplugging the Patriarchy, a spiritual mentor. She has over 40 years of spiritual disciplines that culminated in a 17-year apprenticeship with Frederick T. Lenz, otherwise known as Rama, an enlightened master of American Buddhism, psychic development, and mysticism. As of 2013, she devotes herself to Awaken, Academy for Women, Actualizing Knowledge of Everyday Nirvana, overseeing the operational aspects of the Academy, and helping students accelerate their spiritual growth through her role on the faculty. She will be hosting an Activation of Wonder on March 30th, which we'll be talking about tonight. To find out more, go to www.unplugfromthepatriarchy.com or www.awakenacademy.org. So let's welcome Lucia to the show now. Hi, Lucia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Lance? I'm delighted to be back with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back, too. I think our last show was about 2 years or so ago, and I just love your energy. And, of course, I can't say enough good things about your book, Unplugging the Patriarchy. It is one of my all-time favorite books for just the odyssey of the spiritual and mystical adventure. And detailing your own experiences, it's really one of the best books ever written, in my opinion, on that journey. So, you know, I always like to say that when people are listening, because it's an excellent read and it is not boring.
It was written as a bit of a detective story, and of course we were doing energetic work at that time, facilitating the dismantling of what we called the underlying structure of the patriarchal system, and that happens on a very subtle level, of course, and then it takes years for that to outplay in the physical, and certainly we're seeing the results of that work and other work that contributed energetically through the years to the rise of a new paradigm. No, you have to get rid of one thing to give birth to another. So,
right, and good riddance.
Exactly.
What's your particular take on this as of this moment in terms of, you know, the dissolution of the patriarchal systems of control and domination that have ruled the planet for longer than 5,000 years, but most definitely for the last 5,000, and the sublimation of the divine feminine and masculine. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I have training. I have psychic training, but the type of seeing, there are many different types of seers. And some people can just look at a situation and read it. Some people are very tuned in to the collective and the energies that are manifesting throughout it. I have a little bit different style of seeing because it's a very high level overview. And by that, I don't mean better. I just mean I'm pretty much floating above the planet in my awareness field and looking down. And so I don't get involved in the collective because the work that I'm asked to do energetically is very technical and very much, I often call myself a soldier or an implementer. It's about how do we take this and get something done? How do we make a change here? How do we, you know, lay in a new imprint to the collective for the benefit of people? That sort of work. And so I can't get involved with the day-to-day energies, or it would be distracting. So I see on an as need to know basis.
Right.
And so what I see from that vantage point is a world in turmoil, and a lot of people in turmoil, and absolutely the changes are happening, and that paradigm is continuing to fall apart. But the key here is for each of us personally, if we are willing to become more and more fluid, if we're willing to attune ourselves or entrain our own awareness field with what the planet is going through, which is increased not only flexibility but fluidity, then the ride is very smooth. Yeah, and the only time we're having problems is if there is resistance, and there's a tremendous amount of resistance in a lot of people. If we're still hanging on to our control issues, if we're still not processing what comes up, taking responsibility for our reactions to things, then you know, we're having a pretty rough go of it, and most people on the planet are, because most people are not conscious of the fact that there's a shift. They don't know what's happening, and it's bringing up tremendous fear of letting go of that old paradigm, that old way of engaging with life. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, our belief systems rekindle and create more of the same. So that's kind of a safety net that I see, not only the deep denial of the shadow and what's going on, but the belief systems that basically keep everything in a state of perpetual lack of change, you know.
Absolutely. Like, everybody wants change, and they know the system is corrupt, but kind of under the undercurrent, when you say yes, I want change, is as long as it doesn't affect me and my ability to pay my mortgage and put food on the table,
right?
And that's not the way it works, because change starts within each of us. If we're willing to change ourselves, that automatically raises the vibration of the collective.
Well, we're at an enormous crossroads, aren't we? I mean, technically, we should be entering into, at least in the near future, whatever that means, the beginnings of a golden age, according to many Hindu belief systems, and the leaving behind of the old systems. And many cycles have come to an end, some of them quite long, in the billions of years. So it does seem that change is inevitable at this time.
Yeah, and it's already here. I mean, my experience has been that we had that tremendous shift at the end of 2012. I still stick by that date.
Right.
And just depending, you know, it's up to each individual when they want to tap into that, when they want to ground into that new reality. And it's just a matter of having a willingness to clear ourselves, which can be done so dramatically now, so much more easily, so much more painlessly than a lot of us who were doing processing and teaching about processing and kind of slugging it out and creating pathways for other people. Not everybody had to do that. Now everybody just gets to benefit from the fact that the energies are more fluid. And if you're really willing to look at yourself and say, what am I resisting? What do I want to change now? What's blocking me? You can, by simply looking at it and gathering a few tools to work on it within yourself.
So you began the Awakened Academy for Women, and can you tell us a little bit about how that is progressing for you and some of the things that you address in the Academy?
Yeah, it's a beautiful collaboration. You know, Analia Benz, Victoria Moore, and myself, the three of us, run the Academy. The doors have been open for about a year, and it's for women. And the purpose of the Academy is to help women get a well-rounded spiritual education. Victoria and I both studied with a spiritual teacher named Rama, And he spent 17, 18 years giving his students a very, very well-rounded, well-grounded spiritual education. So, you know, you need spiritual precepts to understand the different disciplines, the different yogas, psychic development. We do mysticism. We have a healing. We have gardens. You know, you enter the academy and then there are different gardens. So there's seven different gardens that you can go into, and a healing garden for those women who need it. And then we sell the teleconferences afterwards to both men and women. So it's going beautifully, and the collaboration, you know, Analia and Victoria and I have been collaborating now for years, and it's a difficult thing to do, female collaboration, because women obviously were programmed for 5,000 years not to collaborate, to compete with each other for a husband, right?
In
the patriarchy.
Right.
So we've really worked out the kinks, and we do it together beautifully, and that models it for the women coming into the academy. And a lot of women are afraid to do that. They're afraid to let down the barriers with each other. But because that's being modeled, and because we really foster an environment where that skill can be developed, a very level playing field, it's working. And the women are changing enormously. So I'm very pleased.
Wonderful. Now, you're going to be doing the Activation of Wonder on March 30th. And mm-hmm. I thought maybe we could get a little bit of background information on your Syrian connections so that we can understand where the activation is sourcing and your relationship to the Syrians and so on and so forth. Would you like mm-hmm. to talk about some of that?
Yeah, that's a good way to start, Lance. I became aware not that long ago, maybe a year, of my connections with the Syrian High Council. And a friend of mine who's very psychic helped me to bring that knowledge forward and tap into it. And since that time, as is the case with all of us, you know, we expand, and that is a very dramatic experience when it happens for the embodiment. And then it becomes normal, right? So there was this kind of expansion into, oh, I have access to this High Council, and they guide me into more of a feeling of, well, I am that. I am the embodiment of that on the planet Earth. And so it becomes mundane at that point. You don't notice so much. You just act from that place with a certain knowing, a depth of knowing, and you don't have to reach outside of yourself for a guide, you know, to give you information. You can, if it becomes necessary. Sometimes I say, okay, I'm having some problems down here. I really need some input. And they do step forward in a very visceral form. They're very present tonight because we're talking about this activation of wonder. But basically, I put out a little video on YouTube on the activation of wonder that describes just in 10 minutes in capsule form. And so I'll just hit some of those high points, because I became aware at the end of last year. I went through a real dormant period where I didn't teach, I didn't want to teach, and as a soldier and implementer, it was seriously difficult, because I love that feeling of you know, making changes and implementing things and feeling accomplishments. But I really wanted to do nothing but smell the roses, and I stopped teaching.
Yeah.
And then
I
knew it would shift around the winter solstice, and indeed it did. And the configuration that was revealed was entirely different. And it was someplace in that stage that I became aware that I came in. I mean, I knew I came in from Sirius. A lot of people have an affinity for Sirius because it's a portal through which a lot of us came to the planet. We received training and knowledge and input there about what this experimenting consciousness on Earth was going to be. But then some of us are from there. Some of us are really Syrian. And the Syrians are very technical. They're like engineers in consciousness. And that's why the tasks that I've always been given to do are quite technical in nature, like dismantling the underlying structure of the patriarchy. But I, as I remembered more and more, I became aware that that I came in layered with, it's kind of like layering clothing, and I came in layered with these imprints, and they're like architectural plans or templates or imprints, you might say. And this is the first one that is being laid out into the subtle physical body of the planet Earth. And as that is happening, there will be, for people individually, the experience will be a greater access to wonder or awe. You know, you have to think about a very small 3 or 4 year year old child and how they approach life. That everything they look at is wondrous and new, that they are learning with beginner's mind about everything around them, right? And so I have had the experience since the December solstice of that coming online within myself. And I don't really know what that teleconference is going to be like. I do know what my personal experience of this template of wonder is, and I do know that it is being activated from the time I got the okay from the Syrian High Council, which was maybe 2 weeks ago, and this, because I've known it was coming, but I can't do anything about it until I really get the affirmative. And I got the affirmative. And now there's a month before this teleconference. And within that time frame, that imprint of wonder is becoming activated. It's not that we'll show up on the 30th of March and the activation will happen. The activation is happening now. And it's happening through my embodiment. It has to come through something. It has to peel off of my soul, right? And so it's a little bit tiring to go through that experience. But I can feel that viscerally every day, and I can feel it coming more and more online. Is this making sense?
Oh, yes, total sense.
Yeah.
I mean, to me it does. To me it does. And, you know, when you're speaking about the child of wonder, or that beginner's mind, it has correlations to our essence, which is considered the inner child, the child that is our essence, and which many people don't take with them along the journey to adulthood, but it remains childlike. And it reminds me of that phrase about, you know, unless you become like little children. And that, I think, is that state of wonder that and awe that of everything, because there's nothing new. There is nothing that it repeats itself in the universe. So when people say that they're bored, they're, you know, that's the mind creating a false illusion that everything is linear. But the truth of the matter is everything is created from scratch in every moment, so everything is literally rebirthed in every nanosecond that we are. Your entire body is refreshed with atoms and molecules and quarks, so nothing is really ever the same. And if you can tap into that from that childlike perspective, then everything changes, even though it may look like it remains the same.
Yeah. Oh, beautifully said. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's just a return to that. And it's this is something that it is unknown on the planet. I mean, it truly is from off planet. And it's not like bringing it back online. This is new. This imprint of wonder. And I'm very curious to see how the collective will respond. And I can give a sense of that. About all I can do is give a sense of what my own personal experience is. Can I share that, Lance?
Oh, absolutely. Please do. I love this stuff. great.
So the sense for me, as it's coming online, is it's as though, because my awareness field, you know, anyone who does a lot of work on themselves, processing, clearing the emotional body, clearing the baggage, their being becomes very clear and things pass through. And it allows, as you're saying, it's that original state of being connected in oneness with everything, right? Being able to experience the life stream as connected with everything. And so my awareness field is very clear and unbounded. If ever I stop and just go into a meditative state and look at the awareness field, it's sort of like being in this matrix, this beautiful matrix of different energetic configurations, different geometric shapes, and so on. And so the way it looks now, as opposed to the way it looked last year, is if you could imagine standing in the middle of a Christmas tree, right? And the branches and which really represent avenues of mind or avenues of perception, they stretch out in all directions, and you have a couple of strings of lights, Christmas lights, those little white twinkling lights, right? And and you look and you go, wow, it's beautiful. And now what has happened this year is that it's as though 100 times more lights have come on. It's like being in New York City at Rockefeller Center when they light up the Christmas tree at Christmas, right? And so I can just sit now in meditation and look at my own awareness field and sort of, it's very seductive. I just sit and luxuriate in it because it's so gorgeous. You know, all of these lights, all of these avenues. And so there is, and it tends to stimulate within me a sense of wonder or awe that then has come through the life stream and manifested in a far more personal way, obviously, right? And this morning I was looking at it because it continues to come online more and more. And the image that came to me this morning was if you could imagine being in a glass house. And there are all these different angles of glass and doorways and rooms and levels to the house, and the light is caught and refracted, and so what I took from that morning meditation was that it's becoming more substantial now. Before it was ephemeral, and like these twinkling lights on a Christmas tree with not a lot of substance. And now it's kind of locking into the grid work of the earth and becoming far more substantive. Is that a word? Substantive?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So that means it's more, it's going to be easier to access. It's going to be more... people will be more readily able not only to access it, but to embody it, to catch on to it, to really experience it within the embodiment. But since I was meeting with a friend of mine today, there's, you know, I live in Ecuador, and my friend Susan Gash, who teaches at the Academy, she's our healer. And we met over at this gorgeous crystal river and sat there for a while and just let the prana, you know, blow things away from the aura. And I was describing to her, you know, some of the things that have been happening in my personal life. And it's just, it's amazing. Like all of these things that I have kind of had at the back of my mind or on a back burner to manifest, they just magically manifested in the past few months, just bam, 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 bam. And I know that that is in part, that is simply that since the shift at the end of 2012, we have far more support. And there was a definitive change, I think, at this last winter solstice, or December solstice, I should say, for those in the summer, in the southern hemisphere. But there was far more support that kicked in. It's like we have a foundation to stand on now and build. It's not like, you know, just treading water or being a hamster on a wheel and doing my spiritual work, but sometimes being able to see the result and sometimes not. Now there's far more support. Yeah. And so my hope is that it after this activation of wonder comes online, that will give people even more support in terms of being able to live the life they want and manifest the things that they want. Yeah.
Well, I certainly am going to be doing it, and I will be sharing my experiences with other people as well. And it does feel like the timing is right for this. I listened to the video that you did, and I was really just absorbed by the essence of it. And so I thought, this is something I need to do.
Why are you thinking it's timely, Lance?
Well, because there has been kind of a stagnation period. It feels like a kind of as if there has been a pushing and a pulling that's been equal, and they are canceling each other out. And there is a need for a new influx of energy to really shift people outside of any of the existing paradigms or, wheels and mazes within the matrix. And the new energy coming from Sirius would be one of those things that has the potential to bring positive energy into our lives and to anchor it.
Yeah. So, of course, there's work being done by many people, many different aspects. This is just one. And The benefit, I think, for someone to actually attend, and I'm really encouraging people to attend live if they can, rather than listen to the replay. The energy always holds in the replay, but there's something about, 1,000 people coming together around the globe that is exceedingly powerful for consciousness and for not only the people on the call, but for the collective. To transform the collective, and it will be the direct experience of feeling the final threads of this thing come online, and as I say in the YouTube video, just you'll be right in the line of fire. It'll just be the direct imprint. So I think it'll be very, very helpful if someone actually attends.
I have
attends.
That feeling too. I have a very good feeling about it, and as you said, being live is a significant part of it. Even though you can do it afterwards and have the effects of it, I'm being led to make sure that I am, fully present at the time that it is being transmitted, because I know there is a subtle and sometimes a not so subtle difference that occurs when it's just happening in that moment.
Absolutely. And a big part of it is just putting forth the time and the effort to actually show up.
Right.
It's not that you're going to miss something. It's that I'm always so amused by our society now, and it's like, give it to me whenever I want it, and there's so much available. We're so bombarded with spiritual information. And I came from, growing up spiritually with a teacher that we would have to go and physically sit with him, and I would never miss an opportunity to go and sit and receive the Shakti and be in that aura of Nirvana. And so it's odd to me, that someone says, oh, I'll just listen to the replay. It's like, whoa,
you're missing,
the whole point here. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's not that I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said I totally agree with you on what you're saying about, there's also a certain excitement that comes about when you are on this journey, and the excitement will take you to the right places at the right time, and it's kind of part of the fun of the journey. So doing it when it's happening live for the first time is part of that excitement and wonder. You're literally opening yourself to wonder because you know that you wonder what's going to happen. So it's creating already an excitement of the journey, And I can't see people wanting to wait a second. You know, the second it comes on, I'd want to be right there, you know, tuning and sensing and, you know, and not without expectations, but just accepting, you know, the vibrations that come in and working with whatever develops and unfolds afterwards.
Right, right. And honestly, I think that, you know, one would never have to be aware that this was coming online. I mean, most people aren't aware most of the time of all the work that's done behind the scenes, and that's fine because you don't need to be. But I think technically what I'm sensing is that the activation is actually happening now, you know, moment by moment. It's happening and coming online, and that the call on the 30th will be It will be the reinforcement. It will be the just the luxuriating in that and the navigation. It'll be a guided tour, in other words. It'll be a guided tour, so that not only can you feel it in psychically, which you would do anyway without the call, but it'll be a tour so that you can really pinpoint, okay, what is this thing about and how do I use it? And oh yes, that sensation that I felt, now I can map it. Now I can see how that's related. So it will just be more technical, I think.
And since I haven't been on one of these calls before, what would the people be likely to expect when they get on the call? Will you be taking it through a guided kind of group focus, or how is it? How will it unfold? Do you know yet?
Yeah. Well, I don't ever know until the morning of with the Syrians. Okay. They kind of give me a download that morning and say, "Okay, this is a blueprint of how this thing should unfold." But usually, what happens is we meet and we talk for maybe 15 minutes, and I'll just kind of give an update of where I'm at with it and a little bit of historical perspective, like we're doing now, and really that time is just so we can all be together. These people around the world, and sort of synchronize and have a little bit of a chance to settle down and settle into a more meditative state. And then it will be a guided meditation. And I don't know how long it will be, maybe a half an hour or more. And probably my friends, I'll have, you know, Analia will be on the call and some other people, and maybe I'll have them give a little input about what their impressions are. It's always good to have different vantage points. And that's about all I know at this stage.
Well, that's enough. That's enough. Now, we all are aware that the spring equinox is coming up in about 5 days now, I think, the 20th. And that has possibilities for being a powerful time of activation as well, does it not?
Oh, yeah. I've been noticing since the end of 2012, that the spring and autumn equinoxes, so March and what is that, September, are equally as powerful. It was always in the past that the summer and the winter solstices were really powerful, and the others were a little bit more subtle. But now there are big, big shifts happening. So you're absolutely right. I thank you for reminding me. I'd forgotten that it was the equinox coming up. So this is probably well-timed, to happen. It'll happen once that energy kicks in of the equinox.
Right, right. Already, I can sense it now. And, it will already be rolling, in good form by the time the 30th arrives. So it seems as if these various events that are entangled and intertwined are done so with a certain amount of design to them, a positive design.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As you're talking about the spring equinox, well, we should say the March equinox. I'm very sensitive now to being in the Southern Hemisphere.
Right.
But I think it's going to bring in a lot of clarity. That's when you talked about it. That's the feeling of just increased clarity. You know, the veils during the patriarchy, the veils of illusion, what they call the Maya in Hindu, were very, very thick. And so it was almost impossible to see through to the other dimensions. You really had to train and work at it. And now the veils become thinner and thinner. And so, you know, as you were talking about the equinox, it's just an increased energy of clarity that's really going to come through. And then this will help to enliven the clarity, the activation of wonder. Yeah.
Very complimentary energies.
Yeah, yeah, fun stuff.
Well, now, is there anything that we need to know about the Sirius star system? I know that there's Sirius A, B, and C, and so they're each different energies. Are you working with the star system as a whole, or with a particular one?
God, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, then let's not go there. Let's go somewhere else.
Probably the whole system. I mean, as you say it, that resonates. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, I moved to Ecuador almost 3 years ago, and cost of living here is like a third of what it is in the United States, and I'm in the middle of the Andes, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and the people are gorgeous, and the heart of the country. Well, I mean, I think that's typical of South America. The heart is much more prevalent here, and a lot of interesting things happening here. You know, Drumvala talked about moving the Kundalini from Tibet to Chile. And it's very evident here. And there's an incredible vortex of energy in Vilcabamba, Ecuador, where I live. So I've built this house and designed it myself. And it's really not a house. It's a Sirian temple. And the point is to anchor the Sirian energy here. And then there is a reflecting pool that goes out from the house so that the energy of the Sirians and of oneness as it comes through me can be reflected up into this vortex and disseminated out to the planet. It's quite something.
Oh, yes. I'd love to see that. I'd love to go over and visit.
Oh, you have a standing invitation.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just might take you up on that someday. You know, I have one person I know has been living in Vilcabamba, and he has been talking about the waters. I think it's in, I can't remember the river, but Lamanu or something like that, in Vilcabamba. There's some mystical waters that are have healing properties that have been used for thousands of years. And that's right there where you're at. And other people have...
It's one of the places on the planet that, you know, they've sent scientists to try and figure out why people live so long here. They live to be over 100, the indigenous people. And a lot of people think it is the waters. It's some of the best water in the world in terms of the mineral content, you know, all the content that it's supposed to have. So.
Well, what are some other things that you could share with us tonight that you'd like to bring forth for the listeners to be aware of?
Oh, I think, you know, I look around me in my own community. Everything is expressed within our own community. All we have to do to take a reading of what's happening globally is just to look at the people around us, right? And I'm just seeing a diverse lot of people. And it's sort of going back to what we were saying at the beginning, the people who are having a smooth ride at the moment are just people who are willing. It hasn't been easy for any of us to give up our control issues that were born of the patriarchy and we used to survive. The patriarchy, that hasn't been an easy journey. It hasn't been for me. I don't know about you. I continually have to look at, you know, this little control thing coming up and continue to refine in more and more subtle ways. But there are certain people who are just, and any process is based in fear. And so if I look around the community at the five or six people who are the most outspoken and creating the most problems, being the most derisive, they're people who are in tremendous fear, and it's a fear of letting go of their control issues. You know, we kind of, in our gated community, we have a homeowners association, and we just flattened the playing field at the beginning of this year, and we did away with having a president, a vice president, and a secretary treasurer, and we went to having a coordination committee. And it's a very different feeling, and it has really thrown a lot of people who are hanging on to the patriarchal paradigm. And of course, if they're not taking responsibility for their own reactions to things, and if they don't have a method of processing their emotional reaction inwardly, then that ends up being a projection. And so there's a lot of hatred and anger being thrown out at different members of the community or the changes at large. And really, it helps me to just look at that person and think, remember, wow, that person is in tremendous pain. That person must be just experiencing so much fear. How painful is that for them, right? Instead of going into judgment about the person. Yeah.
Yes. What are some of the ways, since you are one of them... You are one of the most masterful people on unplugging from the patriarchy on the planet. What are some of the ways that you see are effective tools that those of us in the world at large that are a little more aware can use to unplug ourselves? Some are suggesting pulling our energy from systems that are negative and that are used for, killing or murder, unplugging from banking systems and so on. Have you seen any effective tools that people have been able to use to further distance themselves from supporting the patriarchy further?
Yeah, and I mean, everything you say is correct. I just have a slightly different take on it.
Okay.
When you say unplugging from the patriarchy, it's absolutely necessary. And the question is, as you're posing, how? How do you do that, right? How do I unplug from a banking system that's falling apart? How do I unplug from all of the horror of the world? And the methodology is quite simple that I use and I continue to teach. And it's exactly the opposite of what you would think. Because the whole problem is if we resist. Whenever something comes up in attention, it is something that is literally on its hands and knees begging us to notice it. And what we do is we resist or we run away. We say, that's uncomfortable. I don't want to go there. I don't want to deal with this, right? This might be harmful, or this might bring me into fear, or whatever. And really, you have to do just the opposite. And so my technique is extremely simple. It's sort of an Advaita Vedanta technique, where you watch whatever is arising in consciousness. So let's say anger about a situation is arising in consciousness. And you simply acknowledge that the anger is there, rather than saying, well, I shouldn't be angry, or that's not, you know, I'm not being a nice girl or a nice person, or I can't display anger in public. It's true, we can't. We have to learn to control our anger, because if we project it out onto someone, it hits their subtle physical body and is quite harmful. So the first step is just to acknowledge what is actually arising, in this case, anger, in the awareness field, and to look at it and to say, all right, you're here, whether I want you here or not, whether I like it or not, you're here, then this experience is welcome. So now I'm not projecting it out. I'm not pushing it off onto somebody. I'm simply acknowledging it and welcoming it to be in my awareness field. And as soon as you not only welcome it, but allow yourself to merge with the vibration, because any emotion is simply a vibration. in the embodiment, in the emotional field, right? And so after welcoming it, you just say, all right, now let me get to know you. Let me embrace you. Let me merge with you. If you just need to take over the entire body, then that's okay. And often what will happen is the body will indeed shake with the vibration of anger. But if you merge with the vibration of anger, then you will bring it to rest. And the of that emotional process, that piece of emotional baggage, will reveal itself. And what may be revealed is frustration, right? Now we're down at a more subtle level. And you welcome and embrace and merge with the frustration. And that too comes to rest. And the next layer can be revealed, which may be insecurity. And once you bring insecurity to rest, you're down to the very most basic wrapper around the process, the inner wrapper, which is fear. That's at the base of any process. And if you can manage to merge with the fear and the vibration of fear, which is actually quite painful, quite uncomfortable, but if you just let it take the body, knowing that it is simply a vibration and that there is absolutely no emotional vibration that can harm us, then you bring that final layer to rest and you fall through into pure light, pure consciousness. Because any process, any configuration of emotional baggage is simply pure consciousness under pressure. It's something that we've bottled up that we don't want to deal with. So you're just releasing sort of the genie from the bottle, right? It's always an invitation to bring something to rest within the embodiment, something that's begging to be noticed, that's begging to be dealt with. And if you just turn like a parent to a child and say, well, come, let me see you. That may not be quite so bad. Let me have a look, right? You take that attitude and you bring each layer to rest, if you're willing to sit with it, then it comes to rest. Then you bring that pattern, which repeatedly comes up and expresses itself in anger, you bring it to rest multiple times. And finally, it just dissolves because nothing can withstand the light. Light is just attention. If you're focusing attention on something and really seeing it, it must come to rest.
Yes.
That's it.
Very beautifully said. Very beautifully said. Well, that's a wonderful tool that, you know, we can all incorporate and use and do use. And it's a beautiful way to say it. And I know Anilia expresses it in a similar way. And, and I'm always, it always feels like a waterfall washing over me when I hear it expressed as you just expressed it. It's quite lovely.
Oh, and to bring it full circle, you know, we were saying, how do you unplug from the patriarchy? So the short answer to that is you go into the patriarchy. You look at whatever annoys you about the patriarchy. And if it's the financial system, it means that there's something being reflected outside of you in the financial system that is really a process within yourself that you're not wanting to deal with. So the way out of the patriarchy is to go in and through it within yourself, to find the patriarchy within and to dismantle it through this processing technique or another that works for you.
Very nice. Well, you know, we're almost at the point where we need to start thinking about closing, and that's a beautiful place to segue into, you know, you sharing about what's coming up and where to find you, and any closing words that you'd like to share with the listeners for tonight. And so I'm just going to turn that over to you.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure to be here, Lance, and I can feel all your listeners. God, just beautiful, beautiful, the people who come to your show, and I wish you all well. If you want to know more about this activation of wonder, you can check my website calendar. It's unplugfromthepatriarchy.com. It's also posted on the awakenacademy.org website. and you can sign up for that newsletter. We'll be sending out the link both from Academy, the Awaken Academy, and also from Unplug from the Patriarchy. And if you're signed up for Analia's Ascension 101, she's sending out the link. It'll be on Facebook. You can connect with Lucia Renee. We're sending it out in different ways, and certainly share it with your friends. And we're hoping to have many people there to have a huge shift. So those things are coming. We'll be putting out another YouTube video. If you want to look for the YouTube Lucia Renee and then search on Activation of Wonder, you can find it that way. If you haven't read the book is a really fun read. And the book, Unplugging the Patriarchy, is it's really a mystical tool. It's not a book. And so if you even just hold the book in your hand or open it up, there is the knowledge of how to begin that process of unplugging yourself. But it's a fun detective story to read and very engrossing. And it takes you through all the different aspects. What we were talking about at the end, Lance, how do you really unplug from the different systems? It touches on all of those as you read the book. So that's a fun thing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And it shifts your level of consciousness as well. It has multidimensional layers woven within it. It's an amazing piece of work. It's not just writing. It's an energetic download, really. So I love that book, and I will be attending the Activation of Wonder on March 30th myself, because I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Well, Lucia, it's been wonderful talking with you again. I always have a wonderful time with you, and I'll be touching base with you on the 30th of March in a state of wonder and awe.
Good. See you then, Lance.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I really appreciate you.
Likewise.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.